were born ready.
That's why I'm never on time.
Ba-dum-bum. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the weekly wind down. Man, I almost forgot what I was doing here. Take 1 week off and I'm all jacked up. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
And I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
Crushed it.
It's just your name. We'll reserve our final analysis for the end of the podcast on whether or not you crushed it.
Sim it down.
Okay. Tonight I am drinking Mettler Family Vineyards, which I got in Lodi when I was out in California. What was that? Last week? Was that only last week?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's a Petite Syrah 2016. I normally don't like Petite Syrahs, but when I like them, I really like them. Like that one Poe gave me, and now this one, is very good. So I'll be drinking the whole bottle. I mean, I always drink the whole bottle, but I'm going to do it like without reservation starting from the gate on this one. I'm not drinking it to make it taste better. I'm drinking it because I like it.
Well, what kind of glass are you drinking it out of?
A wine glass. Any glass with wine in it is a wine glass.
You liar.
Any glass with wine in it is not a wine glass?
You dirty liar. No.
Tomato, tomato.
I am drinking Rebeck. I do have a wine glass. Rebeck Vineyards Cabernet Franc from Virginia. My uncle brought it out when he came from Virginia, and I was ready to, like, you know, make the faces about it being way too sweet and syrupy because some of the wines
East Coast
he brings,
wine is garbage.
Yeah, it's kind of. But it's actually, like, really good. I'm excited to tell him that this was a good pick. Tastes like a kind of, like a red blend almost, which is always good.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Okay, I am drinking this Outspoken Vineyards Rosé. It's in a can. I'm going to make fun of your glass, but I'm going to drink my wine out of a can.
What kind of wine glass you have it in, Stacey?
Mine was intended to be out of a can, so.
Because that good aluminum flavoring is just what every fine wine needs.
I don't know. The flavors are complimentary, so suck it. I had had their sparkling rosé or sparkling wine, sparkling something before on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And so then when I was at the store, I saw they had like four other different kinds. So I got a rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir. So I haven't tried those ones yet, but I'm moving on to the non-sparkling rosé. And it's pretty good.
With all the wine you bought in Lodi, you're drinking that?
It was cold. Okay. I didn't want to waste all the guys, this thing happens when I go wine tasting, where I buy all the wine. And the more wine I drink, the like, I'll get like one bottle at the first place. Then the second place, I'm like, I got two bottles. And then the third place, I get three bottles. And then I'm like, not to mention the fact that the third winery we went to, the guy was so hot. The winemaker
was the fourth. The third was horny.
Oh, yeah. I didn't drink it all of it. I skipped the third one. And so the guy was so hot that I was like, oh, I'm going to buy the like red that I don't even really like that much, but it has a really cool bottle.
That wine was like $40.
I didn't know that.
I told you.
She was three wineries deep, for God's sake. Of course she's going to spend $40.
It wasn't, I should rephrase that. It wasn't that I didn't like the wine. It was just that like the other two I bought, I just liked it a little better. It was still super cool. And the bottle was amazing and it was so cool. But I didn't realize it was so much more than the other one because me and Audra both bought three bottles. And we bought like two of the exact same bottles. And then she got like, I don't know, a Chardonnay or something. And hers was like $50 for all three bottles. And I'm like, damn, that's not bad. We're getting out of here with like a steal. $85 because I bought that. I know.
And you couldn't give it back to him because his family owned the winery. And he was very good looking. And he was very like, everything's about the female body and I'm just here to worship it. And like the female soul and blah, 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 feminine energy. Yeah. And everyone's like,
dude. And he was
a surfer.
He was so cool and so passionate about the wine. And like, he brought us in grapes. Like,
and then Kai walks in. It's peach. Hi,
Kai. Kai walked in with a big platter of grapes. He's going to feed Stacy now, just like a Greek god.
That's so funny. Sorry. Jean.
Yeah. I'm drinking, you know, you guys are always touting your California wine. I'm Connecticut born and raised.
In the playground is where you spend most of your days.
That's right. I absolutely am the biggest fan of California wine. I usually love the California, red blends, but this time I picked a Cabernet Sauvignon, called Prophecy. And I picked it. I have to admit that wine labels attract me probably more than book covers attract me. I just love a good wine label. And this one has like, it has like this religious thing to it. There's this religious guy with a big gown. There's all kinds of pomp and pageantry about religion that, you know, and I'm not religious at all, but I kind of like the pomp and pageantry that how they do it up. And so I got it and I tried it and it is really good. It says that Prophecy Cabernet Sauvignon showcases the best of California. The wine is expressive and smooth with layered flavors of fresh blackberry, plum, and vanilla with toasted oak and a long, soft finish.
Can you taste
and
that?
I have to say, oh, I long, like a long, soft finish. I do. You had me at long finish, you know, hard or soft depends on the night. But I'm liking this. I'm on my first glass and I already like it.
Ooh, man, we're kind of crushing it with the wine lately.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just jump right in. Since I have not been watching the news, Sharpiegate. What? How many gates does this guy have, first of all? He's got more scandal gates than he does buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. Than he does fence gates.
He should just use that to build the wall. Yeah. All his gates.
Well, he's going to have to put about 1,000 gates in his border wall to match with everything that every fucked up thing that he's doing here. Can I start with what Mayor Pete Buttigieg said about Sharpiegate?
Absolutely not.
We got to explain to Jax what Sharpiegate is, right? Or did you?
No, I
did you look it up.
I mean, do you know about it?
I understand what it is. I don't. Well, why don't you tell everybody else though?
Okay. Right. So what happened was on Sunday, Trump tweeted warning residents that about the hurricane because you know that's his job, and that it hit hard. It was that. Certain states could be hit harder than anticipated by Dorian, including Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. So the National Hurricane Center got out and was like, hey, Alabama, like, you guys are good. It's not going to come anywhere near you. Alabama's fine. I don't know what that's about. But, like, Alabama's great. You guys are totally cool. So after that, he tweets a picture of a map where he has used a Sharpie to crudely extend the path of the hurricane around Alabama.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, and of course, Twitter blew up with it. Twitter blew up with it. Everybody was doing everything with Sharpies on Twitter. Oh,
the memes to come out of this are some of the best memes since, like, Covfefe. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, these memes are so good.
So here's his picture. I mean, no one can see it, but it's just fucking Sharpie. He just drew around Alabama.
Yeah. We're posting this on the post.
It around this way.
Oh no.
He can't just be wrong.
Right. No. And now, because a precedent has been set by the president, anything that is fake or false, all you need is a Sharpie to make it correct. And if you noticed, did you see I used the Sharpie and made my novel make the New York Times bestseller list. Why? Because I can. If the president can do it, I can do it.
Because a fact is not a thing that is set in stone and provable any longer. No. You just take out your fucking magic Sharpie and draw whatever you want.
I will never understand why this man... We all say things that are wrong, that we didn't mean. They get mixed up in your head. Like, for what yeah. all of us do it. Why can't you just say, I didn't mean to say Alabama. That's clearly not an issue. My bad. You guys are good. Instead of... He would rather send... Because you know he's got a ton of supporters in Alabama... thousands of people into like fury because everything he says is true, to be like, well, the president's gonna move the hurricane towards us now. Like, it's just, it must be because he was gonna set a nuclear bomb off and it was gonna push it towards Alabama. God, well, what a fucking dumb.
He just loves to paint himself a hero so much. I'm so surprised that he wasn't back on there in 3 hours like, oh, Alabama has been saved and is out of the, like somehow turn it around that he saved Alabama from the hurricane. I'm surprised he didn't do that. Instead, he just takes out a Sharpie and is like, maybe he read Harold and the Purple Crayon too many times. And he's like, I'm just going to draw the world. And I wish everyone could see that I am miming him holding a Sharpie like a toddler holds a jumbo crayon, just a fist around it.
Yep.
Like he R's are backwards and stuff.
Well, the first thing wrong with that scenario is saying that he read anything and then read it more than once. So right there.
There it is. Yeah.
But I'm surprised he didn't spin it and say, well, look what I did for Alabama's economy. Everybody ran out and bought all the water, pumped all the gas. And look at now their economy is better because I said a hurricane was coming.
Yeah. There's more jobs.
More jobs now. I've made Alabama great again.
You're welcome. Ungrateful swine.
Right.
And when my daughter was 9, she had this problem too, where if she was wrong about something, she would try to say, well, what I meant was, but after a couple months of working with her and telling her, you know, we still love you if you're wrong. You can be wrong and you could say that you're wrong and it's even better. You learned something. So I don't think anybody told him that they loved him when he was 9. And so now he's stuck in this like perpetual state of, I can't be wrong. I have to prove that that's not what I meant.
Yeah. But you know what? Even at 9, before your daughter knew she was as loved as much as she is, she still had the presence of mind to say, well, what I meant was, yeah. Right. You can't even do that.
No, you cannot.
Oh my God. Right.
So Mayor Pete had to weigh in on this.
And I love him.
He says that he feels sorry for the president. That's actually the phrase he used. And he said that the president's comments were literally pathetic. And then he also said, I feel sorry for the president. And that is not the way we should feel about the most powerful figure in this country. Somebody on whose wisdom our lives literally depend.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Oh, I just can't believe this is a... Like, what? Oh. I can't believe we have to talk about this. Like, what the fuck? It's such a shit show. Like, 2020 could not come fast enough. And if the Dems fuck this away, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Your girl Elizabeth is gaining in the polls as far as, you know, the projections of which Dem has the most, you know, the likelihood of beating Trump. And she's getting up there with Biden.
I would love to see, I'd love to see a Warren Harris ticket. That's like my dream team right there.
Oh my God, me too. You have no idea.
It won't be, but I would love to see it.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to get two women.
No. Not this time. No. What do you guys think about Gillibrand dropping out of the race?
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
In that. But there were a lot of Dems that I like, but we can't have them all in there. You can't have a primary with 8 Democrats. You got to narrow it down. I think that there were several others that should have dropped out before Gillibrand, but you know, I guess she's being realistic and she understands where she is. She understands what's going on now as far as the nominations, you know, the process being so overloaded. So I give her credit for understanding that, you know, it might be the right time for her to back out right now. but I liked her. I followed her on all the medias, and I thought that she had a lot going for her, but I don't know. What are you going to do?
What do you think about everyone saying that the reason she didn't make it further was because of Al Franken?
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying they'd never vote for Gillibrand because of what she did to Al Franken.
Oh, because she was behind getting him to resign?
Well, here's the thing. She said, I'm not going to tolerate this. But he made a choice to resign. And now she has to take the fall for it.
Well, of course. That's any time you can scapegoat a woman in politics or any other very high level type of thing, then yeah, by all means, do it.
I listened to her talk on the Daily.
And I love Al Franken.
Well, I heard her talk on the Daily about it, the New York Times Daily, and they were interviewing her, and she was saying, you know, hey, there were 8 credible accusations, and one of them came from a congressional staffer that works with me very closely, and I couldn't in good conscience tell her, well, we'll have to see how this plays out. Like, no, I've based my entire career on standing up for women and women's rights. So for me to have a clear conscience, I had to say that he should resign. It was completely up to him whether or not he did so. He's a grown-ass man. Like, why? Right. Yeah. But in order for me to be able to sleep at night, I called for his resignation. And then several others did right after her. Now they're changing their minds and saying they shouldn't have said that because of all the heat she's taken. But you're right, though. They'll blame it. It's so funny that this started because of female accusations about not being treated fairly. And because Al Franken is such a beloved, like, Democratic figure, the second they can blame a woman for his demise, because they can't blame the victims, they do.
They do it.
Right. And she said on the interview, she's still friends with Al Franken. Like, this hasn't, they have a good, he knew she had to do what she felt was right, and she's not going to apologize for it.
Maybe if everybody else was punished to the extent they should be when shit like that happens, it wouldn't seem like such an anomaly that he actually did the right fucking thing and stepped down.
Oh my God, Stacey, that's so right. But who does the right thing if it's going to threaten their chances for election or re-election?
Al Franken, and that's why I like him. And that's enough that they can still be friends and he doesn't hold a grudge. And
well, let's be really clear. That was a safe Democratic seat anyway. He was going to be replaced by a Democrat. Right. They weren't really going out on a limb to call for his resignation at the time.
Well,
that was going to a Democrat.
Well, just put it out there too, that it's some inappropriate behavior and not just like straight up rape, like some other people who don't have any sort of no consequences to their behavior. Like, I don't know, the president.
Yeah. Like of the United States. Yeah.
Well, that's what she was saying. What Senator Gillibrand was saying though, too, she was saying, I don't think Al Franken belongs in jail.
Right.
Like, I think he behaved inappropriately in a workplace, and he needed to be called out on it. Like, that's, I don't think he deserves to be, you know, locked up or anything, but you can't grab girls. You can't talk to them. You don't walk around grabbing guys' dicks.
No. And you know what? And I know we talked about this when it happened too, but he was very like, hey, I thought a lot of stuff was funny back then. Like, he was a comedian who was on Saturday Night Live.
Well, this happened when he was a senator, too.
Well, no, I'm just saying. But to be able to say that, like, looking back on it now, I can say, yeah, my behavior was inappropriate and I wouldn't behave like that now. Again, it's that whole admitting that you were wrong thing.
Right.
That, like, right, and I have grown and I have matured and I now see why that's inappropriate. It's the same thing as I misspoke. What I meant to say was all of these states and not Alabama. Right. Not like, let me get my Sharpie out and draw all over these pictures where people are saying that I pretended to touch their boobs. He didn't do that.
Had Al Franken not happened right after, like, Harvey Weinstein and right in the middle of, like, Kevin Spacey, he fell, and, you know, you shouldn't grab women, you shouldn't kiss them, like, whatever, but he fell into this weird, like, time lapse of, I think it would have been much easier for him to admit that he was wrong and, you know, say, issue a public apology like he did, and people just forgive him and move on. But he fell right into, like, this line of powerful men falling one after another, and he got caught up in the sweep of it. Because you're right. It's very different from rape.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And he's not Harvey Weinstein.
No.
But it also draws a pretty clear line of you can't just grope women either because you feel like it. Like, that's a...
You cannot grope anyone because
right,
you feel
right,
like it.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Right, Kevin Spacey wasn't groping women.
No, he wasn't, right.
Neither was Michael Jackson.
Look, I didn't... I apologize. I did not mean to say it that... Oh, you just went
Jack,
there.
Jack, you're being very sensitive.
What but else you did know, I miss?
When you think about political figures fucking up and trying to use, you know, what Stacey said, which was a very legit thing. I, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, I believed this. I've grown, I've matured. I don't believe that anymore. Public figures don't get to say that because they're what they did or said, you know, 20 years ago, always comes back to haunt them. Look at what people did to Hillary Clinton as far as the gay, her stance on gay rights. Yeah, 25 years ago, when it was wildly unpopular for anybody to come out in support of gay rights of any kind, she was going along with what was the norm, which I'm not making an excuse that that was right. But 25 years later, she says, you know what? That is not who I am anymore. I fully 100% support LGBTQ rights. But nobody cared about that. All they cared about was what she believed 25 years ago. Right. And even Joe Biden, I'm not going to, again, make excuses for Grant, Uncle Joe's bad behavior.
Leave Uncle Joe alone, Jackie.
Look what he did during the Anita Hill hearings in the early 90s. I mean, he was the leader of the boy pack coming at her and, you know, trying to protect this wonderful, venerable Clarence Thomas.
Okay.
You know, that was almost 30 years ago. If you see his track record just over the last 10 years on women's rights, it is a lot different than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But that nobody's going to care about that.
But here's my issue with Joe Biden. And I don't actually have anything against Joe Biden. Like, I think he seems like a fun guy. He seems like he'd be kind of funny to hang around and say a lot of dumb shit, like, inappropriately. Like, I enjoy Joe Biden. But he falls into that category also of it's very unlikely for him to admit that he's made a mistake. Every time something comes up about, you know, what about your voting history on? But Joe Biden has been in the game longer than the three of us have been alive. Sorry, Gene, but been around a long time. So of course he's going to have some stuff to answer to, and his team should have prepped him on. You're absolutely right. Had I been the person I am today that I was now, I would have voted very differently instead of just being like, some of those Republicans are nice guys. Like, his response to it is just kind of like, I did what I did. Get over it. Obama picked me. So I can't possibly be racist when, okay, I don't think he is a racist, but he has some shit to answer for, not answer for like, you owe the world an apology, but tell us what's different about you now. Explain to us how you'd handle it.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of stuff like when I think about it, and I don't even think this is a politician thing. I know so many people in my everyday life that cannot admit when they're wrong or they have made a mistake. And I just don't get it. Like, what's a good thing I could use? Okay, so when I was in, I don't know, elementary or middle school.
Jesus.
Everybody
you had to dip
said,
way back, huh?
Wow.
I'm sorry, I was
everybody
wrong.
Would use the words gay and retarded. Like, oh, that's retarded, that's gay. I know now that that's not a thing you say. I know what that means now, and I know that's not okay. And if somebody were to come at me and be like, hey, in middle school, you said that something was retarded, I would be like, right, no, I was 11, and now I understand that that's not okay to say. And I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say, oh, that's gay, because I'm a grown-up and I have learned things, but I'm super sorry that I said it at the time because I didn't, like, why is that hard? Why can't that just be a thing? Like, I didn't mean to tweet Alabama in that list of states. I just got it wrong.
But here's the thing that worries me about Biden, because he's missing that small capability to go back and do that, it shows glimmers of narcissism. And that's, I don't want any part of that.
Maybe that's why his eye exploded the other night. Did you see that? last night. He was being interviewed on, I think, CNN, and like some blood vessel in his eye popped and it filled with blood.
I love Joe Biden. Jesus. I don't think he should be the president.
I agree. I like Joe Biden too.
For my deal, I think he's too moderate. I think he was a great vice president. I think he helped build the bridge. And I think like that, I mean, as much as you can, but I like that. But you said the eye thing, and I just have to bring up when we were listening to Rachel Maddow, and she was like,
Oh my God,
that's horrific.
Just for the listeners, just Google Joe Biden eye and this horrific.
Don't listen to her. No, but we were listening to Rachel Maddow, and I don't even remember what the episode ended up being about, but she was like, do you guys remember when Dick Cheney shot a guy in the face? And I laughed so hard because that seems like a million billion years ago.
Like, it was 100 million years ago. Dinosaurs were still roaming the earth when Dick Cheney shot that guy in the face.
But yeah. It was so funny.
I know, I was there. I remember.
Oh my God, the way she said it too. Shot a guy in the face.
Oh yeah, we were staying at the other Stacy's house, and we were getting ready to go to sleep. And I mean, we weren't sleeping together. We were sleeping in the same room. But the I listen to Rachel Maddow when I go to sleep, and we both just started cracking up. It was so funny.
He just straight up shot a guy in the face.
Yeah, and that wasn't even a thing.
No, it was a precursor, I think, of sorts. Here's what to come. The vice president can just fucking straight up shoot a guy in the face and no one's going to care.
But Joe Biden
did admit it was an accident, though. It was a hunting accident.
If Joe Biden ends up being top of the ticket, I will vote for him because I'm not an asshole. Like, yeah, exactly. I'm not a purist. But I hope he's not.
The country would crumble. I also don't think that I would feel much safer with him as president than with Trump as president. That's
I
for
would
fuck
let
sure.
Lincoln, my son, run the country before. I mean, or I
Abraham
would,
Lincoln the zombie.
At least when Lincoln would have the zombie codes, the nuclear codes, I could just go over and grab him out of his hand and go, no, and smack his hand. Like, that is much more of an attainable goal right now than the dumb in chief.
I would put a pile of Lincoln logs in the shape of a human as president before I would put Trump. I would put the character Link Larkin from Hairspray in the Oval Office.
Would you let George Bush run it again?
Jeez, yes. Yes, please.
If it was him and Trump, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. And that is something I never, ever wanted to ever be. I never wanted to have to make that decision again.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I was just curious.
Because you know what my thoughts are about that? As a person, seems like kind of a lovable dum-dum, right? Like, seems like, aw, shucks. He's sneaking Michelle Obama candy, and he can't open an umbrella. And just
can't get out of a poncho.
Dum-dum.
Yeah.
No, it's like the whole thing. Also, I think he believes what he believes, and it's not the same thing as what I believe, but I could get behind that. I also think he was smart enough to know that he's a fucking idiot and he should listen to people that are smarter than him.
But if he had had a different vice president, it would have been a very different presidency.
Yes. I think I could have.
Cheney ran that office.
I could have survived that time a lot better. And mind you, I was young when Bush was president. I was like in high school. And even I was like, this is nuts. He's not making any of these decisions. I'm sure a lot of that had to do with my dad taking me to like protests and stuff. But even as a teenager, I knew like, this isn't fine. But I knew it wasn't so much him. I knew he was like the lovable dumb puppet. And Dick Cheney was just like threatening to shoot him in the face if he didn't do what he wanted him to.
Yeah, but you know what? The Dick Cheney presidency, as I like to call it, he nearly killed... And actually indirectly killed a lot of people, mm-hmm. not just the dude mm-hmm. that he shot in the face.
Right.
He was the architect of the Iraq War. Yes. And he orchestrated all of that horseshit going on over in the Middle East because of Halliburton.
But you know what? Even as you're 100% right. And I can tell you, even as a teenager at the time, I couldn't even vote. And me watching Bush give speeches about stuff that he clearly didn't know what he was talking about and hadn't ever read before and was really struggling off that teleprompter, I was like, this isn't coming from him. Like, This is like when your parents make you write an apology letter and you're like, dear Jean, I'm very sorry that, like,
I'm very sorry that you were mean to me and forced me to yell at you like the bitch you are.
I knew as a teenager that George Bush was not making any of those decisions, especially because Dick Cheney just looked like, he looked like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Mr.
Like, he
Burns.
Was very, like, finger tappy.
Oh, my God, Mr.
Like,
Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey, did you ever make your daughters write apology letters?
I don't think so.
No, just give them a Sharpie. Tell them to fix it all and make it true. Yeah.
So what else happened this week?
The book
that
where it says Dick Cheney shot a guy in the face, there's just a little thing with a knot in Sharpie. He did not shoot a guy in the face.
Draw a penis on it.
So Trump said that we hadn't had a Category 5 storm before.
Bro.
Yeah.
Has he
forgot
ever
about
Louisiana?
Throwing paper towels.
There have been 3 since he's been president, right? Does he remember the cafefe in Puerto Rico?
He doesn't remember the paper towels he threw it at hurricane victims?
Yep.
God.
It has to be the biggest and best with him. It all has to be, like, relax, bro. You've already had 3 fives. You should be like, you're amazing. You've had the biggest and best hurricanes. He's such an idiot. No one's ever heard of that before. My favorite part of that was everybody next to him, like, we have heard of that. We have heard of a Category 5. No one's even heard of that before.
I was really hoping that the Category 5 would smash sideways into Mar-a-Lago, and then that would be his introduction into Category 5 hurricanes.
There
but
we
no,
go. Category 4.
But no, the slippery bastard got out of that one, too.
Ew, I bet he is slippery, like greasy.
Ew, stop.
Like oily. Stop. Like, I bet if you brush up against him, it would leave, like, stuff on your, like, shirt. Ugh.
Like Cheetos on your
fingertips.
Yeah,
you'd have, like, Cheeto dust all over you.
Yep.
I really am curious, what kind of fake tanning do you guys think he does?
Do you think he has a bed? Melania has, like, a body outline of him on her that's just orange?
No, I don't. I don't think that happened.
Well, it happened. Wait, how old is their son?
Like
that's
10,
probably the last time it happened.
One time a decade ago.
Someone should hit up Stormy Daniels and find out if he just, like, drips tanning solution.
Stop. You're going to have to post all of the Sharky,
like,
memes online.
My list of stuff I need to post already has 6 things on it.
I'm going to send that one to you.
Okay.
Oh my God. No, but I really wonder, like, you know how bodybuilders cover themselves in that, like, fake tan oil?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
what I imagine he uses.
Yeah.
But not around his eyes.
Which is so funny.
So then it makes me think, are we tanning better spray tan? Because he's got that total goggle. Like, there's a, you know,
the
goggle.
Tanning bed goggles.
The tanning bed goggles. They don't have any, you know, ear, those things on the side, like the frames. They're just a little, you put them here. So is it a spray tan? Does some poor character have to airbrush tan this guy?
Could you imagine that being your job?
Ew, no. It's like that episode of Friends when Ross goes in and it sprays him on the front, and then he turns around and it sprays him on the front again, and then he goes back to even it out and it sprays him on the front again.
Yeah.
Like
he's
that.
Like a 2, and then he gets a 2 twos, and he's a 4, and then he fucks up again, he's an 8. Yeah, that's what Trump
does
all the time.
Do you think the person who has to spray tan him has to hold his testicles up, or he does it himself to do it?
He's got
the white
underneath.
Racing stripes under those big titties of his. And you know what? The person who has to hold up his titties for spray tanning, those people are leaving their positions just as much as everybody in his cabinet.
Yeah.
So
what,
it's
the cabinet
not the same
that was
person.
Never even full to begin with?
I'm still just picturing him getting spray tan and some guy walking in and being like, this isn't, I don't want to, I make $9
money.
Bucks an hour. Like, I don't want to do this.
And that's when they hire an undocumented worker to come in and do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more fuck up of Trump's this weekend, and it didn't seem to get as much attention, but I did see it on Apple News and on Wired. So apparently on Friday, Trump tweeted a photo of a charred launch pad at the Imam Khomeini a lot of words. Reading's hard, guys. Space Center in Iran, which had just experienced its third launch failure of the year. So the accident became public on Thursday after satellite imaging company Planet released a photo that showed thick black smoke, like, wafting across the launch pad. The problem is Trump tweeted a really highly detailed photograph from the intelligence briefing. If you're going to start tweeting fucking pictures, maybe make sure you don't have anything from
Who's still giving intelligence him intelligence briefings? Have we not learned our lesson?
Like, are we sure it was charred and he didn't just scribble on it?
Why hasn't the chief of staff gone in there and been like, look, whoever you are, just go in there and be like, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 Fox News, and get out of there. Like, don't tell him anything. Don't relay anything to him. Don't say, because he's like your grandma that forwards fucking everything to you. Like,
right. Well, and here's the thing that was even crazier about it. It wasn't so much that, like, he tweeted the picture, he had the picture. What really piqued people's interest was how amazing the resolution was on the photo, and really wondering what the military intelligence sort of, was it a drone? Was it, like, what was it that got such a high resolution photo of this thing? So it might not have seemed like a biggest, like, was it a spy satellite? Like, that's a big fucking oopsie when you're like, oh, here's a picture that could have only been taken by a fucking satellite people don't know we have with intelligence no one knows about. Like, have you guys ever seen Notting Hill when he's climbing up the fence and he's like, whoops-a-daisy? I'd take that at this point. Just a little, like, whoops-a-daisy, Alabama satellite picture, category 5 hurricane, whoopsie.
You're never gonna get that from him, because if he starts it, he's gonna have to do it daily. Yeah. And who wants to admit they fuck up on a daily basis?
Just doubles down. Well, you've clearly never been married. Normal you have to people. Admit that, yeah. You suck daily. But he just, like, doubles down on everything because they believe him. They just fucking believe them. Mm-hmm. They believe everything. Even these blatant, like, horrific... I guarantee if you told a diehard Trump supporter, like, well, what about him claiming that Alabama is going to get hit by a hurricane and then drawing his own Sharpie image of it? They'd be like, he's just joking. You guys need to lighten up. He didn't do that. Someone did that for him. Whatever. You know, they just... They're like battered wives, battered partners. Yep. Like, they have an excuse for everything. And no matter how much proof you show them that they should abandon this house that they live in because there's a better life, they go, no, he loves me. He loves us. Yeah. He wants what's best for us. Yes. I'm going to stay because it's going to get better. He promised.
Yes.
And it's just so
gross.
It's
like a freaking after school special.
Mm. I filled my glass very
full. I wish. Oh my, is that wine?
I told you.
You have a wine glass. Beer glass.
It's a wine glass. Wine? It's not a wine glass. You, Jesus, sharpie a wine glass on it. Everybody's
we better fucking start looking into places to send her for 28 days.
Oh, hey, listen, pot. This is kettle. calm the fuck down. You're.
Oh, I need to Sharpie a stem on that glass real bad. Somebody screenshot.
Listen, unlike Donald Trump, I could admit my hypocrisy. I'm on my second happy hour of the day.
This
right
is my
now.
Second glass, atta too. Girl.
No, I mean, I had two martinis earlier, and now I'm on my second glass of wine.
All right, so listen, Judgy McJudgerson. Yeah.
Jackie's on her second pint of wine. I wasn't aware we were measuring wine.
Listen,
in
I drink
now.
every time we record, I drink one bottle of wine. It's two pint glasses full. That's how much a bottle of wine is.
She just had an entire bottle in one glass. So,
she's drinking a pint of wine, 12 ounces. I'm not going to fight. You know what? I'm a grown-ass woman. I will drink as much as I want.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, you.
I don't think this can is 12 ounces, ma'am. First of all, I can't
find
it.
We
all love each other because we all drink excessively.
How many ounces are in a can?
12 ounces are in a can.
I don't believe you. Hold, please. Alexa, how many ounces are in a can?
Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, by the way.
What'd the bitch say?
12 ounces. She said 8 ounces.
No, really? 8 ounces are in a cup. 12. She's a fucking liar. Look at her. Look at her. She's a goddamn liar. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah, 8 ounces. That's 12.
That's
but how many? Cats, I'm going to have cats. One can.
No, you're not. There's cats. Another lie. She's not going to have one fucking can.
I'm going to have one can on the podcast.
Uh-huh. Look.
Listen. I wrote on right here in Sharpie. It says 8 ounces of wine, Jackie.
I accept that.
I just took a Sharpie and turned my cat into a dog. How about that?
No, I'm just going to write on my forehead heard. Really skinny.
That meow you just
super
heard.
Hot.
Super hot.
Donald Trump said so.
I'm going to write marriage material in Sharpie on me.
Okay.
If you can't laugh about it, what can you do?
I mean, the world's on fire. We're all going to die and the planet's going to explode.
Right. Might as well get drunk and laugh at it.
Might as well drink your 8, wink, wink, ounces of wine.
Yeah.
Anything else going on this week?
Oh, man.
Mike Pence visited Iceland.
Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Did no. Mother come?
Oh, Jackie, obviously
Jackie.
You didn't see.
You didn't hear about
obviously
this.
Obviously you didn't hear.
Who was
Iceland, Iceland, it is my new favorite country, and I want to go on a vacation there. Iceland, in preparation for Mike Pence's visit, basically just put planted an entire row of pride flags
yes.
all around.
Yes.
In honor of his visit. And I just thought that was the best thing because we all know how anti-gay he is. And so all Pence saw when he was in Iceland was gay, gay, gay pride flags.
I love it. Yep.
So I am going to drink to the mayor of Reykjavik for putting that together.
I love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Stace, what's going on with you this week?
Are you asking me what I'm obsessed with this week?
I love when we're in a political episode and I catch her off guard. She has to like lean forward at her seat and be like, oh shit.
What are we talking about?
The teacher just called on her.
Oh.
What was the question?
Stacey, what'd you put down? What'd you put down? What's going on? What's going on with you this week?
Oh, I'm copying off Stacey's paper.
The integrity of the podcast depends on you.
She's taking notes in Sharpie. A can is 8 ounces.
I have so many notes for this episode. Nothing is going on with me this week. Are you asking me what I'm obsessed with? Is that where we're at in this episode already?
I was just asking. I was just checking in. You were like leaning back, staring at the ceiling. Oh. I was just wondering what's going on.
I get my politics from you guys. This is not a hill I die on. I don't even know half the people that you guys are talking about.
Listen, stop, people, stop getting your news from us. Right. That includes you.
Don't say that anymore.
Sex Listen, ed in she, the fucking middle school.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, so this, I don't even know how it started. This lady posted on our neighborhood watch group about boys at the middle school harassing little girls, chasing them around, kissing them, whatever the hell they're doing, and it's sexual harassment. So this comment this lady made, I had to send it to everybody because I was like, you're joking, right? I thought we got past this. Like 2 years ago when the new sex ed curriculum came out, everybody went crazy saying that they were going to teach our kindergartners how gay men have sex. Okay, so I'm like, that's not a thing that they teach in public school.
They don't even teach how straight people have sex in kindergarten. It's fucking stupid.
Until even fifth or sixth grade, I don't think. But either way,
and they don't even they're like, this is a penis, and this they don't teach you how to have sex.
No, I had to go in and read the entire binder front to like back.
I really thought you were gonna say you had to read how to have sex. I had to go read. Where are the penis?
The new curriculum for California, I had to go down to my daughter's school and read the entire binder front to back to try to find where this information was that these women are complaining about. And there was nothing in there about anything inappropriate. It was all absolutely age appropriate. And I totally approve. So on this post where this woman is complaining about boys being inappropriate at school and we need to take a stand and we need to teach our daughters to kick them in the nuts, which I don't agree with and it pisses me off. This woman says, have you guys seen the new curriculum being taught in the next year or two? It teaches sixth graders how to use vibrators. What? And another woman, of course, is like, oh, yeah, I've heard. That's why I'm not signing the waiver for my daughter to do it. And it goes on with a bunch of comments about mom saying, this is why I homeschool. This is why I'm not signing and letting my daughter go either. This is why we shouldn't have sex ed in school. And I'm going, holy shit.
Did you jump in?
This is, oh, no.
That's a losing battle. You can't fight with Janet and Karen. Like, that's just not.
2 years ago when I was read the binder cover to cover and I was like, you guys need to just go to the front office and it's right there for everybody to read because it's new curriculum and you need to see if you want to, like, pull your kid out and, you know, like, don't let them learn it.
But they're never going to have a curriculum that's going to be that fucking crazy that somebody would have to pull their kid out. Like, it's never going to be inappropriate. Never. Like, you shouldn't even have to go down to the office.
They don't teach Huck Finn anymore because of the N-word. Like, anyway, sorry, Stace, go ahead.
It's fine. So, I was so disgusted I had to send this post to the podcast group because I can't believe this is still an issue. Like, I thought we squashed this 2 years ago when it first came out that we were getting California.
We did.
We squashed it.
I did. I like, dived in and was like, listen, you guys, I went and read the curriculum. It doesn't say that. And now this woman says, go online and read the California curriculum. That's what they're teaching. And I'm like, no, go to the source. Go to the school and see the binder that every teacher is getting for what grade they're teaching and read what's actually being taught to your child.
Okay. Like, I'm just going to pause here for a minute. Jean, correct me if I'm wrong. There is no statewide curriculum. The state sets standards, and then schools purchase curriculum that meets those standards. First of all, right?
You can. There are. You have in any curriculum. You have choices in what you're going to teach. Right. You know, obviously, you can't teach everything. You can't teach everything on the curriculum.
Right.
So the teachers develop their own units, and you know, kind of follow a trajectory of what's appropriate.
Right. So when we talked about this the first time, it was lots of they're going to teach kindergartners about gay sex. No, they are going to introduce family constructs other than mother, father.
Yes.
Just mother, just father, two mothers, two fathers, grandma, aunt, lots of different family constructs. And that gets turned into they're going to teach how gay sex works.
That's how blown out of proportion it probably says in there that in sixth grade, they will introduce the idea that maybe everybody masturbates.
Yeah.
Yep.
You should fucking teach masturbation, especially all these people that are teaching. If you're teaching abstinence only, you should probably be teaching about masturbation, too. Not teaching masturbation, but just explaining the idea of, like, here's a way to stay abstinent.
Somebody, it's like playing telephone in sixth grade where somebody told somebody they're teaching about masturbation, and that person says they're teaching about masturbation and how to do it, and that person's, and it turned into they're teaching sixth graders how to use vibrators.
I wish people would stop just looking at headlines. Can I just say that real quick? Because I read an article, or I read a post yesterday on a very similar page for my area, and it was about, although it wasn't a neighborhood watch, it's somebody who thinks they're a news organization, and they're fucking not because they're way too biased. But it was about a Senate bill that's being proposed where it no longer makes it mandatory and punishable with a fine or jail time for you to not assist a police officer if they ask for help. Every person on there was like, why you people want less, you know, police brutality and less this and less that, but you're not willing to help and blah, blah, blah. No, read the fucking article. What it says is that you can't be held liable for not helping. If you are cognitively not able to, you could be held liable right now. You could face jail time or a fine if you don't assist a police officer when they ask for help. You might not be physically able. You might not be. And if you do help, you can be held liable if something happens. But nobody reads the fucking article. They just read the headline.
That takes too much work to actually investigate. It's way too much work.
Here's my issue with the Susans and the Karens and the Janets that are posting That's a, not actually any of their names. I think it was like Diane and something. So, which also, bleh, like, bleh, yeah. So here's my issue with it, though. They treat the, so I understand maybe the idea of a, the word vibrator sets off like, whoa, calm down. That's like an adult thing.
And I'm sure it didn't even say that, though.
I'm 100% no, I sure it didn't say that. But we've talked about this on here before. Stop treating masturbation, your sexuality, like women finding sex pleasurable as a taboo. Like, you are now telling your sixth grader that not only should they not be talking about masturbation, which, why? Why wouldn't you talk about masturbation? Your sixth grader's having urges to feel a certain way or touch themselves a certain way. Why wouldn't you want to explain that to them? Two, you're making them feel fucking weird about it. And three, mm-hmm. you're essentially saying that women should not enjoy sex unless it's to procreate. That is like the constant message we're sending girls. And I understand not maybe, and if I obviously know that the schools aren't teaching vibrating use, proper vibrator etiquette in sixth grade. Like, I get that. But their visceral reaction to it says you are in this long line of women who is raising the next generation of women to be embarrassed by their sexual prowess and to slut shame and to tell them to behave certain ways because this is what you're living in right now. Instead of being like, man, that's weird. I know masturbation is a thing, but I'd rather just talk to my kid about it so that they're not embarrassed at school. Right. I would accept that answer as a completely viable real, but this whole, this is why I homeschool because blah, blah, blah. Bitch, you couldn't even, you first of all, you couldn't spell teacher. Instead of typing out our, O-U-R, you just wrote the letter R, which I find very aggravating. Like, it's three letters. Don't be a dum-dum. We put a lot of pressure on kids, and we don't hold parents accountable enough for their own shortcomings when raising these children. Like,
and it's a total double standard, too, because they'll talk about wet dreams. They'll talk about male masturbating. I know.
Oh.
What happened?
Stacy left.
Oh, talk about vibrators.
She got real excited about masturbation and had to go relieve herself. Yeah. She was like, speaking of vibrators, let me go grab my new Jumbotron 480.
You guys only think that because you think all my dog toys look like sex toys.
They do.
They do.
I don't make the dog toy.
But you buy them.
You buy them.
Subliminally, you're thinking about butt plugs is all I'm saying.
But I think your dog is finding your sex toys. And when Piper comes
she's prancing like, oh, through. Look, a new dog toy.
Piper.
Oh, man, that's so funny, you guys. Look.
Yeah, look at, they're coming out with dog toys that look like dildos.
Yeah. Stacey, are those vibration beads on the side? No, they're for her gums.
For her gums.
I just take the packaging and I write dog toy on it in
with
Sharpie.
Your Sharpie.
Bitch, I hope you're not wasting your expensive ass vibrators on dog toys.
Get out of here.
Only when Piper finds them and brings them on to the podcast does she have to do that.
Look at it. It's a dog toy. How that works.
Stace, what are you obsessed with this week?
So we started a new show, and it was recommended to me by actually kind of a lot of people. So it's called The Boys. It's on Amazon Prime. I was kind of hesitant. We started, we watched two episodes, and now I'm kind of digging it. It's the idea that this group of superheroes around the world, they get together and they were just kind of forced into superhero-ness by the fact that they have special abilities and superpowers. And so they're not cool people. They're douchebags. So this girl who's actually like, you know, girl next door, southern kind of sweet girl, realizes she's a superhero and she gets forced to, you know, deal with these other superheroes and be part of the team. And they're kind of dicks. They like sexually harass her and stuff. And it's it's an interesting premise that I'm excited to see where it goes. I get why a lot of people recommended it to me. It is not for kids younger than, I would say, 16 or 17. It was very rated R. So, FYI. But I'm curious where it's going to go. So, I think I'm going to watch an episode or two tonight. I heard it's good. I hear it's good. I'm two episodes in, and I'm curious where it's going.
Stacey?
I'm obsessed with Lover and watching. I have found two reviews of Lover that are my favorite things in the world. And
Lover
one of
by
them,
Taylor Swift.
Oh my God. One of them, it's just a review of the whole album. It's these four black guys. And they're like not the guys you would expect to be listening to Taylor Swift. They're like kind of macho, kind of whatever. Them, their reactions to that music video are like, or to that album, are my favorite things in the world. But I have to just share with you guys the comments on their video reacting to the like Lover album are my favorite things that have ever happened. Somebody like, I think it's just like the antidote to toxic masculinity, if that's possible, because you just don't expect, like, you're watching these four guys just like jam out to Taylor Swift and they don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I'm pretty sure that they had done a review or like a reaction video to Reputation. So then when Lover came out, they like had to do one to Lover. And it is the funniest thing. Somebody was like, this video flipped my mattress and changed my oil and like just did all of the things. And it's just like, it's my favorite thing I think I've watched in a long time is this 40-minute long review from these kind of like manly guys of the Lover album. It just like restored my restored my faith in humanity. These guys are like, they're just they're delightful. And I'm trying to find like the name of the YouTube channel so I can pimp it a little bit, because I think they do a lot of I think they do a lot of like reviews and stuff. Their YouTube channel is called RTTV. And I don't know exactly what they do. It's, they have video game posters in the background, some anime stuff. So I think they do that. But it's just so funny. Like, the, like four grown men dancing on Taylor Swift songs. I've never seen anything more pleasing and mature. Like, men who aren't afraid to love Taylor Swift are the hottest thing. This reaction, here it is. This reaction cleared my skin, paid my bills, flipped my mattress, rotated my tires, and restored my faith in humanity. Wow. They're just like, their comments are like just the funniest thing. Somebody said, delete the rest of the internet. This can stay. Yeah, no, agreed. But it's so funny the things they say. Like when they're talking about, I think they're talking about London Boy. And one of the guys is like, she's just in such a joyous mood. She probably went into the studio in a sundress. Like, they're just on song number six. And they're like, this is the album of the year.
Yeah.
They're just so about it. It's so amazing. Like, I just, the album itself is so amazing. And, like, I can't say enough amazing things about it. It's all
this
I've
is the best
to.
Album since 1989.
Yeah.
And no, I really liked Reputation.
Yeah. So one of them was like, this
shake
is
your head all you
Swift
want.
I
don't
with.
Care.
No, it's the best. I love it so much. And they were like, she's smiling, making the whole album. Like, I just, oh my God. It's just, they're. I love the album so much, but their review reaction video of the album is my favorite thing that's happened on the internet. Because they, like I said, they just don't, they don't look like the guys that you would think would be like listening to Taylor Swift. They're like in basketball jerseys and cool clothes and like, I don't know. I just, I love it. I love it so much. The dichotomy is, I'm a fan of it.
What about you, Jean?
All right. I got a couple things going on here. this past week, I've basically just watched trash. I've had a lot of like junk to do, so I haven't really been able to sit down and really sink my teeth into anything. So it, you know, been like Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh,
I love
the,
Dr. Pimple Popper.
I know, right? I mean, that does, you don't need to be in any kind of mood to enjoy that show.
Do you watch the Oozy Goozy ones, or do you?
I do, but I will literally be alone in my living room watching it, going,
I don't like the big wet ones, but just a regular blackhead, I could watch that for hours.
I am obsessed with the wine, pour of winer.
Yes, that like pour of winer.
They're hard, and she's got. Oh yeah, I mean that is the my junk show specialty, and I watch it all. As disgusting as it is, I watch it all. However, I did learn this week that two of my very, very favorite shows are coming back. And unfortunately, I think that they're also coming to an end. The Blacklist is coming back soon with James Spader, and I just cannot get enough of him as Red Reddington. And I learned that Grace and Frankie on Netflix is, they have two more seasons, and then it's done. They're going to do season six and then it's going to be done. Well, they are old. I mean,
there's only so much more they can do.
They gotten old already.
Yeah, they were old when they started. But the article that I read was just basically about how amazing the show was for putting elderly gay people and elderly women, independent women, on the map again. Everybody knows that elderly Americans are just thrown to the side in almost everything that goes on, except local mayoral elections. But other than that, old people don't count. And Grace and Frankie was really, and still is, just this wonderful show that shows old people can still be sexual and still be relevant and
funny.
And fucking funny as hell. Mm-hmm. Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin have fucking comedic chemistry that goes back 40 fucking years from 9 to 5. I mean, those two are, I'm just obsessed with them too. But unfortunately,
they on your list, Jane?
Let me tell you something. You give me a few glasses of wine, And I will go for Jane Fonda. I will go at her.
What about Lily Tomlin?
The actual lesbian. Yeah.
No, Jane. Oh, Jane Fonda. Ooh.
Her little pop collar. Her little
fucking pop collar. And there's something about doing an 80-year-old. That's a notch in your belt that not many people have. Come
sure.
on.
That's that. That's right? true. No, yeah, that's
that
a
very true.
That's a notch that not many people have.
That you're absolutely
all
right.
of that and, is you know, true.
At 50 years old, I'm all about the notches that nobody has.
Okay. Jane Fonda, if you're listening.
And if you want to take a walk on the wild side at 80, Jane, you look me up, baby.
Oh,
she's down
I'll
a clown.
You out
she's
and I'll rock your
world. I am obsessed with. I'm moving back to California.
Yes!
Yeah. So, I got a job. I can't say where yet because I'm still in background and I won't say where anyway on here. But, when I was out there last weekend, I interviewed for a position and found out that I got it while we were wine tasting, which gave me such a fantastic reason to drink. Mm-hmm. And a friend of ours got a promotion, so that was even better. Woo! But yeah, so I will be back in California before Halloween.
No way!
Yeah.
Can I come and visit you?
1,000%, Gene. What do you mean? Of course.
I got an airline ticket that I have to use by the end of April because of my Las Vegas debacle.
Let's go.
Can I come in April?
California.
You can absolutely come in April. We'll be hopefully in a new house by then. I'll be staying with Stacy and her family. Lex and Lincoln will be coming out the November 7th, so it'll be 3 weeks without them. But Lex has to finish working and yada yada. So I'm just super stoked to get to be going back home.
Yay!
That's really what I'm obsessed with. But
so I didn't watch any news or anything this week because I've been trying to arrange moving and arrange shipping the dogs and arrange shipping the cars and like all of these things that I'm trying to take care of all of it because I want Lex, like, because
you want to stay married.
Well, I won't actually be here when all the moving happens. So I want her to have to worry about like as little as possible when it comes to actually doing it. Cause she's going to have all six of our animals and our kid by herself for like 3 weeks. And so I'm trying to do, it'll never be enough like doing all of the things before I leave, but I'm trying to, so it's gonna be hard for her. She's from Pennsylvania. She grew up here. Her parents are here. So I don't have an adequate way of saying thank you for coming with me back to California. So making the move as easy on her as possible is the only way I can do that.
Good. So happy wife, happy wife.
Yeah, she's given up a lot. So
yeah.
Hey, you gave up a lot too to move out there.
I did, and she was also very supportive and understanding about that too. So I'm just trying to repay the favor now. Yeah. So
come to California, Jean.
And I can't even tempt her with like the wine's really good because she's like, I don't fucking drink wine, I don't care. And I'm like, you're the California.
No.
But she drinks cider now. She drinks cider now.
I will tempt her with all of the other things. I'm going to make her love it.
She already said, I love how I'm talking about her like she doesn't listen to this podcast. She 100% listens to this podcast.
I love.
But she's probably outside in the hallway listening.
But she really wants to go back to that cider place we went to in Lodi because she's really into cider right now. So
I'm going to take her to all the antique stores and the
when I'm at work, right? Because I don't want that sound. Things. I don't want to do that at all. Like
I don't either. But no. Sign me up for the cider place because I don't.
Oh no, I'm doing that. Being.
Oh okay.
I'm all about that.
We'll show up for the cidery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How's everyone's wine?
Good.
I mean, Ooh. The 8 ounces I've had have been phenomenal.
It's good.
Mine's delicious. Sharpie.
The way I'm lying about size, maybe I'm a guy.
Oh, damn!
Oh, can we just talk about the fact that he is probably like...
The like smallest penis that has ever existed?
Yeah.
He should draw... He needs a Sharpie for that. He needs to add a few inches.
He just draws it on his leg with a Sharpie.
I think there's a meme for that.
Is there already a meme? I thought I invented it.
There's already a meme about it.
Well,
I'm sending you over another meme.
That's it for us this week.
I was going to say, when everybody's done listening, go on our Facebook page and look at all the Sharpie memes that we're about to post.
Erin will be back with us next week. She's up in Chicago visiting friends and family right now. We will be switching to having all of us on every week unless someone's doing something. So you'll get Erin and Jean at the same time. Or if we're doing an interview.
Ayo.
Hey, don't
maybe Aaron somebody would want time. Aaron and me at the same time.
Oh,
don't knock until you try it.
So I'm gonna need a remote mute button for you guys. All right, everybody, have a great weekend and
bye.
Welcome to fall. Go drink your pumpkin spice, whatever the fuck.
Everything.
Yeah.
Gonna lick a pumpkin.
Oh,
I'm gonna get pumpkin spice gelato because it's still 100 degrees here.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.